Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
Let's bow in prayer right now. We have a little more that we need to be praying about. Gracious Father, as we come before you right now, in preparation of hearing from you, from your word, Father, our hearts go out to people in our own church family who are suffering right now, who are struggling right now. Pray for Maggie as she sees her doctor tomorrow. We pray, Father, that her doctor will have some good news or some ways that it can help her. Father, we pray that you would be with the pain that she endures right now. We pray that you'd just give her good days. Thank you that she's able to be here and bless our hearts as she sang this morning. Think of Linda Engel, who's with her son down in the valley right now for all evening and all night long in the hospital. Pray, Father, that you would be with her, give her strength, be with her, just her mental outlook of what's going on. Pray that you just continue to give her hope that she needs right now. We pray that you'd be with Andrew, her son. Pray that you would bring healing to his body that's just struggling right now. Father, it's amazing how much damage one bullet can do. Father, we pray that you would bring healing where there is infection, that you would bring healing where there is brokenness, that you would be with doctors and that you would be with a move that he might have to make this week, that it would be the right move, that it'll be to the right place, so that he can heal, gain function of his limbs and his colon and his intestines would begin to work normally once again. Be with others who are right now going through recovery times from surgeries and who are looking at surgeries coming up in this month and next month. Father, we pray that you would give them hope, that you would prepare doctors and nurses and technicians and hospital rooms and all of those who are going to be there. Father, we pray that you would glorify your name now in all of their lives. Father, we thank you that you care about just the everyday things that we go through, the hurts, the pains, the joys, the blessings, the sorrows. You're there in all of them. And so, Father, forgive us for those times we forgot that you're there or we don't notice what you're doing. Help us to keep our thoughts and our hope and our mind on you and on your blessed word. And so, Father, would you bless your word today as we spend time in it. For we pray these things in Christ's most precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to take your Bible, find your notes, and pull them out. And then we're going to be in Luke chapter 1 today. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is a long chapter. We're actually going to be looking at verses 68 through 79. But as we begin, I want you to know that I've got a little bit of good news and bad news to start with. The good news is that no matter what we've been led to believe, that what we've been led to believe is a myth about suicide. What we've been told for decades is that between Thanksgiving, which was last Thursday, and New Year's Day, every year, at least in America, that the suicide rate goes up, that more people commit suicide in those 6 weeks than in any other time of the year, in terms of how many per day commit suicide. Well, the Mayo Clinic did a long study, and just a couple of years ago, they produced the findings, and the findings are that the people still commit suicide because they do that every day, but it does not change at all how many people commit suicide per day or the percentage of the population in those 6 weeks. So it's not that we have to expect that, boy, we're going to see hundreds of people around us committing suicide because it's between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. That's not the reality. Some people will, but not massive numbers where it's going to go up. That's good news. Now, the bad news is that it doesn't mean that people are not going to get very depressed in these 6 weeks. That is a reality, and the depression comes up, but it's not suicidal depression that comes up. And so psychologists have been studying this for a long time, and so there's a reality that in this period of time, the holiday blues set in. The holiday blues. How many have heard that before? The holiday blues. Well, the psychologists have even given it a different name. It has an official sounding name, and it is the word SAD, S-A-D, S-A-D. That stands for seasonal affective disorder. Seasonal affective disorder. It means you're depressed. Not suicidally depressed, most likely, but you're not bright and happy all the time either. And some people just pencil it in on their calendar. I'm going to be depressed for 6 weeks. I just know it, so I just put it on my calendar and just start. I might even start a day early, just for the fun of it. And so that is a reality. So that's a little bit of bad news, that reality exists. And in fact, when it comes to that term, the holiday blues, I will use that today, but I will also use the word the holiday hurts. Because when you have the blues, there are things that are gonna hurt. And it's not just your feelings and it's not just your emotions, it certainly is those. But when you are in a funk, when you are in the blues, when you are involved in that, and you're having that seasonal affective disorder, it affects everything, or it can. It affects your relationships with your spouse, with your kids, with your neighbors, with church members. It affects your relationship with God. Sometimes we get angry with Him because of how we feel. He ought to fix this. He ought to make sure we don't have that. And so we hurt, and others hurt because we hurt, and relationships get hurt because we hurt. And so to say blues gives it kind of an easy edge, but the reality is that there's a hurt deep below that. And so we want to acknowledge that today. And what we find is that emotions that we keep at bay during other times of the year surface during the holiday season, especially at Christmas. You made it through Thanksgiving, hopefully. Hopefully you didn't ruin family relationships forever, and you're here and you're up and some of you are smiling. So you got through Thanksgiving, but let's make sure we get through Christmas and New Year's as well, because there's still a lot of opportunities to find that hurt that can happen. And so we realize that instead of this wonderful time of celebration for many people, it is anything but a celebration. It is a time of tension when we think about Christmas. It is a time of disappointment. It is a time of loneliness. It is a time of frustration. And many of us can say, yes, I can verify some of those things. It may not be all of them, it may just be some of them, but it could be all of those kinds of things where you find yourself dreading another day, wondering when is Christmas ever gonna end so that I can get back to kind of my normal me instead of this depressed me. And so today we're gonna talk about how to beat the holiday hurts. How do we beat those blues that bring that hurt to our lives? So in order to understand this, we have to understand what causes the holiday blues. What causes those hurts in our lives? So very quickly, let me share with you the places they come from typically. The first one is unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. I won't ask you to raise your hand on any of these, but how many of you, if you were going to raise your hand, would say, yes, I know I have expectations, and I'm really going to be hurt, I'm really going to be blue if they don't come, if things don't happen the way I want them to. One mom said at Christmas, I want to be able to at least pretend I have a normal home. One Christmas, that's all I'm asking for. Because we set these expectations, and year after year after year, they fail to live up to what our expectations are. And when that happens, we experience dysfunction in our relationships and in our own mind. So unrealistic expectations causes the holiday blues and hurts. Second one is financial pressures. And many of you are already feeling that, even in Black Friday weekend. Which used to be just a weekend, and I thought that was way too much. Now it's like Black Friday starts somewhere in September and goes all the way until those who are selling us stuff think we're never going to buy anything else again. But right now especially are all those special deals that want to distance you from your money. And they're good at doing that, aren't they? And so because we have expectations, comes with those expectations our finances. And we want to have a nice Christmas. We want our family to have a nice Christmas. We want our kids to have a nice Christmas, our grandkids to have a nice Christmas. We want our neighbors, and the list just goes on of presents that there are to buy. And what happens is that because of that, we don't find those realities coming to fruition because we spend more on time and travel and food than any other season of the year right now. The third cause of holiday blues is busy schedules. I'm glad you were able to schedule us in for this morning. But it's going to get harder and harder. You start looking at your calendar and you start saying, boy, I don't know what I'm going to get everything done. There's just a lot of stuff in our calendars. And we start to think about all of the things that are going to happen. Even the most sedentary people that we know get busier in December. And right now you're saying, please don't put anything else on my calendar. It's already filled. In case you don't have it filled, our December calendar is out there on the welcome desk, and we will fill it up some more for you. Because even at church, we have special days coming up. We have cookies and carols coming up. We have our annual church business meeting coming up so that we can do the things that we are required to do, even by law, that have to happen at an official business meeting. We have Christmas Eve, our very special service. We have Christmas Sunday coming up, and not to mention all the other parties. The ladies' Christmas party is coming up. All of those things are happening this year. So if you happen to have an extra few moments, we'll fill it up for you. And so we have all these busy schedules that come along. And then we have the favorite of all, family conflicts. What you dreaded at Thanksgiving and got through, you just have to do the same thing again at Christmas. If you're getting with family and friends, it will happen. And so all of those things that are unresolved come up every year. Some people you see once a year for good reason, because you don't get along with them. And so you say, okay, I'm going to do one dinner with you this year, I can do it at Thanksgiving, I'll do it at Christmas, and then we're going to be done for another year. And if you say, well, I get along with everyone, then you're probably the one sitting around the table that everybody else is saying, okay, I'm going to put up with them for one more year. Because there's that person at every table at Christmas or Thanksgiving. One young father said, the part I most dread is visiting my parents. We travel 500 miles just to endure 3 days of criticism about every detail of our lives, from how we raise our children to the kind of church we attend. But if we ever decided not to go home for the holidays, we would never hear the end of it. Some of you have been there, and some of you have kids that are coming who are probably thinking the same thing this young family, this young father was thinking. We all thought it when we were raising our young kids, and they're thinking the same thing. So not my family. Yeah, probably your family too. It happens in every household, in every family. And there are some things that, those are some of the things that contribute to holiday blues. And I suspect there are some others, but we're going to look at them here in just a moment. But I want you to know a little known fact before we jump into the scripture. A little known fact is that Christmas doesn't have to be stressful. It doesn't have to be stressful. And you say, sure. Have you ever been around Christmas? No, it doesn't have to be the way we make it. We're talking about, remember, we're talking about a simple Christmas. And a simple Christmas is going to remove some of those stressors, some of those things that cause us to get into the dumps. We get there because we do it to ourselves. But it doesn't have to be stressful. Instead, we're looking at how we can deal with this on a higher level. But they cannot happen if we spend too much, if we do too much, and if we expect too much. So we have to become realistic. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:2, and I know I told you to turn to Luke, but just this one verse, and it'll be up on the screen. It's in your ministry guide. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A simple Christmas, a less stressful Christmas, starts in your mind. It starts with where you think and how you think and what you think about. And so we're gonna learn how to rethink this attitude that we have toward Christmas. And as we do that, now we're going to turn to Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, we find a prayer or a praise or a song, if you will, that was written by Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. You know that name, John the Baptist, the one who came baptizing, who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, who was making a way for Jesus Christ. Before he was born, John and his wife knew his ministry was going to be involved with the preparation of the Messiah coming. And so when John the Baptist is born, and I think that was his official name on his birth certificate, John the Baptist, don't you? Because we never refer to him just as John. No, his name is just John. And this is what it says, starting in verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy and to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Verse 76 and 77 goes on to say, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the path of peace. And I could stop right there, and you already know now how to have a simple, stress-free Christmas, right? Just in case you don't see the message, you didn't catch it, we're going to be looking right now at this passage, and we're going to be looking at three ways to rethink your attitude about Christmas. Remember, Paul said, it starts in your mind. So choose how you're going to think, and that means you're probably going to have to learn to rethink. You're going to have to get rid of some old thought patterns and replace them with godly, biblical thought patterns and see if it doesn't bring the stress level down of your Christmas. The first attitude that you have to rethink is to rethink your expectations. To rethink the expectations that you already have. Because I guarantee you, every one of you came in here with expectations for what's going to happen around the Christmas season, and especially for Christmas Day. And now we have to rethink it. So we're going to rethink our expectations. People who struggle with disappointment often approach the holidays with that wrong focus. They try hard to make it a perfect Christmas. Who doesn't want a perfect Christmas? We have all these thoughts in our minds of how everybody should act and behave, how they're going to look, how they're going to enjoy their present, how good the dinner's going to be, how it's going to just kind of magically happen on the table before us, and there's not going to be any issues involved with that. Barb and I have company coming in. We bought a brand new stove for a reason for another day. And the one that we bought, brand new, only halfway works. And so now we are rethinking how we're going to get the dinner onto the table. And so we have these expectations of how things are supposed to happen and how they're supposed to work. And then people come in and we're disappointed by their attitudes and what they are doing. And then that causes us to do things we didn't expect to do. And all of a sudden, that blues effect comes in. And we start to hurt. We start to hurt, not physically, but we start to hurt in our gut. It's in that deepest part of us where that hurt happens. Because there is imperfection. Well, I have news for you. You and your household are not a TV sitcom. You are not Ozzie and Harriet, who are going to start with high expectations, everything fall apart, and then at the end of a half an hour, it's all put back together and everybody is smiling and having a wonderful time. That's not reality. So we had to dump that false narrative that somehow we're going to be like Ozzie and Harriet. So you rethink your expectations about the season. And so instead of asking, what will this Christmas be like for me? Now, you're going to write the word me, I'm going to give you the freedom to put your very name there. What will this Christmas be like for me, Terrell? What will it be like for you? Instead of asking that question, you think, well, that seems like a pretty good question because that's what's going through my mind right now. That's why we're rethinking. we have to rethink a different question. So instead of asking, what will this Christmas be like for me, I want you to ask this question. What will I, and you can write your name there again, what will I be like this Christmas? The first question was just all about me. Will everybody else be perfect the way I want them to be perfect so that I can have a good Christmas? So that my Christmas expectations will be met? This question is very different. This time it is, what will I be like because of Christmas? Will I be the person God wants me to be? Will I be the person who can enjoy the simplicity of what Christmas is about, no matter what other people are doing? So instead of thinking about what you can get out of this Christmas, I want you to begin thinking about what you can give this Christmas. What can you give this Christmas? What are you going to give that simplifies it? What are you going to give that de-stresses Christmas this year? It's going to be different for all of us, but we have to answer that question. Isn't that what we're trying to teach our children and our grandchildren, our neighbors, our fellow church members, our employers and our employees, our coworkers? Aren't we trying to convey to them that because we know Christ, there's a difference in our lives? That there's something different about us and something different about this season? If we're trying to teach it to them, shouldn't we try it for ourselves? We're so good at telling other people how to do Christmas, but we don't do it. We don't do what we tell them to do. So shouldn't we do that? And so I want you to approach Christmas with an attitude, with the attitude of a servant. Can you approach it with the attitude of service? And see each event as an opportunity for ministry. We get so wrapped up in what am I going to get out of Christmas, we forget all about people around us who need our touch, who need ministry, who need service for them. And that's exactly what Zechariah prophesied for his son John. He said his son's ministry would be, again in verses 77 and 79, to give God's people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, to shine on those living in darkness, to guide our feet into paths of peace. He said, John, you're going to have an opportunity to be of service to God's people. They are lost in darkness. They don't understand what this season is going to be. They don't understand the coming of the Messiah. They don't understand who he is and what he will do. And you have an opportunity to make that known. They are so in need of salvation, and you're going to open that door of salvation through introducing Jesus Christ to them. And these next few weeks, you're going to see a lot of people, including some that you see very seldom, but they're going to cross your paths these 6 weeks. You're going to have a chance to minister to them. You're going to have a chance to be merciful, to be forgiving, to be a peacemaker. To open the door for them, to see the Savior who loves them and who cares about them more than anybody else. Imagine the kind of Christmas that everyone would have if your attitude became, Christmas doesn't have to be perfect for me this year. I just want to spread love and joy to everyone else. When you make that your goal, you say, I'm not worried about am I going to feel perfected, but I want to make sure that I'm spreading love and joy to everyone else that I come into contact with. That means I'm now rethinking. I'm rethinking expectations. So rethink your expectations this year, and then minister God's love to everyone. Second thing we have to rethink, second expectation we need to do, is to rethink your obligations. Rethink your obligations. Got to rethink those expectations, and you got to start then thinking about your obligations. What are you obligated to already? And should you be obligated to them or to other things? Because right now you can easily find yourself with something to do every night of the week. I have my calendar full. I keep erasing things and putting other things in because something else comes in. I think I've got to do that one instead. I don't write anything in ink because I know it's probably going to change. So what does your schedule look like? What is your obligations? What are those things you're obligated to? You say, boy, you don't understand. I've got grandkids, or I've got kids, and I've got Christmas recitals, and I've got dance recitals, or I've got sporting events that I have to do. And then there's the Christmas party at the school and all those things. And even grandparents get stuck at those Christmas parties at the school. Like, didn't I do this before? And I thought I grew out of that, and now I'm back here doing it again. So we have all of those things. And you have company coming in, relatives coming. In fact, we have two sets of relatives coming at different times. So we get ready for one set of relatives coming, and then they're going to go only a week later to have another set of relatives coming in. And so, are they going to mess up everything before we have time to put it all back together before the next set of relatives come in? And Barb says, no, we're not going to have time to put it back together. We do have our tree up, but we haven't decorated it yet. We have a lot of obligations. And it's easy to become overwhelmed. So if you're in that overwhelmed group already, shake your head, yes, you can do that. If you're saying no, I'm going to say just wait a few days, you'll be shaking your head yes again. There's all this stuff to do, and your schedule just spins in circles, and your family, and as you finally admit that there's no way that you can do it all. So save yourself some trouble. Realize that you can't do it all. Remind yourself, I can't do everything I want to do. If you think you can, you're wrong. You can't do everything you want to do or that everyone wants me to do. Because unfortunately, there's those things that I want to do, but there are other people who want me to do things as well. And I can't do either one of them completely or all that I think I should do. You say, Pastor, are you telling me that there are some things that I'm obligated to do that I probably shouldn't do, even though I think I should? And I think the answer would be yes. Because there will always be more things that you want to do, that somebody else wants you to do, or that you think you should do to get it done. It's just not going to happen. So I have to rethink my schedule and make sure I do those things that are what? Most important. Just because I think I should do them doesn't make them most important. There are going to be a few things that I cannot renege on. There are a few things that I cannot just put off. And so we have to be careful about rethinking. It'd be a shame to make it to a half a dozen Christmas parties. I just got an invitation to one with people I don't know for the most part. Every volunteer in the city of in the town of Prescott Valley, because when I say where's town, are going to have a Christmas party. They never did that before. And so now I have to decide, am I going to go to a town of Prescott Christmas party with people I don't even know? I probably will know six or seven of them really well. And I don't know them completely well enough to say I want to spend a whole night partying with you. So what's most important? You have to think about that. It'd be a shame to spend that time with them and then realize you never have time to serve other people, people that you need to be serving. It'd be a shame to see all the lovely decorations on the houses in the best neighborhoods, but never notice the people in this community who are desperate and hurting. Be ashamed if Christmas became just a flurry of activity, preventing you from finding opportunities to share Christ with someone this Christmas season. So you have to make choices. You have to rethink decisions that you've already made. This Christmas season, I'm challenging you to rethink your obligations. Say, but I've always done. It doesn't matter. Rethink what you've always done. If you're obligated to it, make sure it's what you need to be obligated to. Make sure that that's the one who stays on your calendar, or that is not even on your calendar. That chance meeting with somebody that you'll be able to share the gospel with. Make sure you're doing that. Think about what really matters. In today's text, Zechariah gives us a clue. He's talking about God sending the Messiah to earth. And he says in verses 74 and 75, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. He said, John, this is what your job is going to be. And he says to you, believer, today, that's your responsibility. Those are your number one obligations. Are you serving Jesus? Are you serving God without fear? In all holiness and righteousness before him. Jesus came into the world in order to give us a whole new perspective on life. And we can't have that if we don't rethink our obligations. He came that we could learn how to spend our days not serving ourselves, but serving him. So, okay, I'm a Christian. I'll buy that. I need to serve him. Does that mean I have to be a missionary? Do I have to become a pastor? No, that's not the only way you serve him. We serve Jesus by serving other people. No matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, we have to be willing to serve people around us. And so we need to let this season be a service time. So when you help someone, when you help them, you offer your service to them, but also to God. As you're serving somebody this Christmas, God is saying, thank you for your service to me. Because you're serving him. So rethink your obligations, restructure your priorities, give yourself a chance to do something for someone else this holiday season. And some of you are going to ask, what does this have to do with beating the blues? With beating those hurts from Christmas? And I would answer with one word, everything. It has everything to do with it. As I serve other people, I find that it's hard to be depressed when I'm helping them. that depression that comes with the holiday blues begins to lessen, because it's tough to figure out how to be depressed as I'm serving somebody else. It's how we're made. When I'm serving somebody, I am living out God's plan for the way He made me. When you serve somebody, you are living out God's plan for your life. He made us to serve. He made us that way. Helping others doesn't just benefit them, it benefits us as well. It lifts us up out of those blues. Solomon said this in Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And so as you serve other people, you come away refreshed. You come away lifted up out of the blues. So rethink your obligations, and instead of filling your schedule with endless parties, put some time in there to be a servant to someone else and take joy knowing that you are doing something to benefit someone else. And then thirdly, rethink your celebrations. Rethink your obligations. Rethink your expectations. But also rethink your celebrations. It's sometimes amazing to me how we celebrate Christmas. Somehow we do it rocking around a Christmas tree. And I've never quite figured out exactly how you do that. But there must be a way, and maybe we would feel better, but I don't know. We celebrate by drinking too much at the office party, by judging how well it went by the gifts we get. Those aren't God's top three. Those are not the ways that we are to celebrate. But even Christians sometimes make a mistake of putting too much emphasis on the externals of the holiday, family time, big meals, unwrapping presents. And there's nothing wrong with that. It just doesn't need to be the center of everything that we do and how we evaluate Christmas at the end of the season. I'm aware of a pastor who, in his very first pastorate, right out of seminary, so he's probably 28 years old, maybe 27, something like that, goes to his first church. It's not a large church, 30, 40 people. And as December came along and they got about halfway through December, one of the leaders of the church came to him and he said, "Pastor, we want to tell you we're not doing Christmas this year. We're closing the church on Christmas Sunday. We're not doing that." And the pastor thought he was kidding and started to laugh. He said, "No, I'm not kidding. We really are not. We're going to close the doors on Christmas Sunday." As it began to sink in that he was saying, he said, "Why? Why would you do that?" And he said, "Because we have so much to do and we want to spend time with our families at home, and we can't do that if we're here at church on that Sunday morning. So we decided the easiest way to get around that was shut the doors on Sunday morning. So we're not going to open the doors on Christmas Sunday. So you can just have the day off, I guess." And the pastor was shocked. I mean, he went home in disbelief. He began to pray about it. He began to think about it. He came back to him and he said, "Here's the deal. We're having church on Christmas Sunday. We are going to do that. It will be a different kind of service. You don't have to dress up. In fact, you can bring your kids in their pajamas if you want. I'll bring my guitar. We're going to sing Christmas carols, and we'll read the Christmas story, and we'll have communion." He walked out and he thought, It might just be me and my family on Christmas Sunday morning. But as it turned out, almost everyone showed up. You know what they had? They had a simple Christmas. It was a simple service. They did exactly what he said. They sang Christmas carols. They read scripture. They held hands and prayed. They shared communion. And afterwards, he says, one of the ladies in the church, a lady who was not one of his biggest fans, said to him, "That was one of the loveliest services I've ever been in." Of course, that might have been because he didn't preach. I don't know. However, it was, I think, because the service was a simple celebration for people who thought they were too busy to be able to celebrate. We have to rethink our celebrations if we want to know what it is to beat the holiday blues. So I'm telling you, in addition to family celebrations and parties, let's not forget to celebrate Jesus. Because in all the business, we can forget that. Can't forget about celebrating with Jesus. Without him, our lives would be what? They would be nothing. Without Jesus, this world would be a total chaos. And you think things are bad now. Imagine if Jesus never came. Imagine what the world would be like if he didn't show up in that manger. And if there's no hope that he's coming again one day as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to celebrate Jesus. We need to take some time this year to worship Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's a cliche, but it is always true. Jesus is the reason for the season. No matter how times you hear that, no matter how bumper stickers you see it on, you need to stop and say amen. And forgive me, Jesus, for forgetting that you're the reason for the season. For getting so busy that I haven't even thought about you today. And it's already dark. And the night is coming. Jesus is the reason for the season. So let's celebrate him this Christmas. That's what Zechariah encouraged us to do. In verses 69 or 68 and 69 and verse 72, he says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people to redeem them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us to show us mercy," or to show mercy rather, "to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant." He said, remember the Messiah. Remember God who's coming. As we read through the book of Romans, as we earlier did, Paul's saying, change your thoughts and you'll change your life. He said, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ. Change your thoughts and you'll change your lives. I'm telling you the same thing about Christmas. Change your thoughts and you'll change your Christmas. Change how you think. Rethink. Rethink all of those things. Rethink your expectations. Rethink your obligations. Rethink your celebrations. And if you allow Jesus Christ to do that and you focus on him and his word, you will change your Christmas. And it won't be the Christmas you were thinking it was going to be. It won't be a Christmas that is overwhelmed by stress. It will be a different Christmas. You won't have to be on edge all month. You won't have to dread the hectic pace. You won't have to miss out on God's blessings. You rethink the way you approach Christmas, your expectations, your obligations, your celebrations. You look for ways to minister and to serve others, and you remember to focus your attention on Jesus. Friends, worship him and celebrate the wonder of love. This will help you to beat the holiday hurts and will give you the best Christmas ever. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, maybe we've been a little taken aback. There's so much that we need to rethink in three simple statements. And yet we all know that that's what we need to do. So would you help us to give us the fortitude to step out into the unknown, saying, I don't want to decide what Christmas has to look like until I let your word sink in. Until I found ways to make Christmas a time of service, of giving to you by serving others. So, Father, would you help us in that area? Father, would you also help us in the area that John was spoken to by his father, Zechariah? Son, one day, you're going to open the way for salvation, for the Messiah who would come, who would save people from their sins. You're going to be the one who introduces him. You're going to have a part in changing the world. Father, today we stand in need of that change in our lives. Changing our attitude from saying, I can get by on my own, to saying, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I need someone to be Lord of my life besides me, because I'm lousy at it. Father, we pray, if there's anyone in this room who's never trusted Jesus, that right now would be that moment. As we think about people who are not in this room, who we know need to know Jesus Christ, would you put their name on our hearts? Would we not rest until we find ways to minister the gospel to them, to share the good news about salvation? Father, right now we pray that you would be glorified by all the decisions we'll make. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If God's speaking to you, won't you come? You need to talk to somebody about salvation. We want to talk to you about that.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.